Okay, we are going to start with the Q&A session. The first question comes from Rui Dias, UBS, and Stefano Bezzato, Credit Suisse. Regulatory environment in Spain. Did you have the chance to meet with the new administration following such contacts? If any, do you think that the regulatory outlook is indeed improved?
Well, we have already had some meetings with the new administration at different levels. And I can say that the first comments of the government are really very much in line with what has been our way and our vision during many years. I think the first intervention of the minister in Brussels was already supporting the winter package of the Commission and supporting the target of 32% of renewable for 2030. And the first comment is already in line with the commissioning power plants, which are already fossil and more in favor of renewables. So I think the impression and the expectation we have from the government is really is a real change in the policy and the approach to the climatic change and the policy and the approach to energy transition.
Next question is regarding nuclear assets in Spain. It is coming from Daniel Rodriguez from Fidentiis and Jorge Guimarães Aitón. They are asking about the possible extension of useful life until 50 years of the assets, and in that case, which is the situation of Enresa funding?
Well, in line with what I mentioned before, with the strategy with the European Union and the Spanish government is already fixing, we subscribe in Spain perfectly can already achieve the target of this 32% of the total energy, so that means 70% of the energy produced in electricity coming from renewable sources without being affected at all the supply. Even with a potential reduction in the cost of power generation. For that, it will be necessary, and that is, has been the comments as well of the minister, closing the coal power plant, which today are already emitting on the line of 60 million tons a year, which represent more than 20% of the total emitting of the country. With respect to the nuclear fleet, according with our studies, as well, and according with the government has already indicated, the nuclear power plant are already thinking to close at 40 years. And in our vision is perfectly achievable without affecting to the supply to the country. You have to be aware that for extending the operation over 40 years will be necessary in investment of several billions, which, of course, they will have to be remunerated, and they will have already affect to the prices. In another positive side, I'm trying to transmit what is the government is saying, a plan of 70% renewables will provide a plan of investment in the country in the range of 70-80 billion euros in between the new power plants and the networks which are needed to be integrated. And that will generate a generation of jobs of several hundreds of thousands of jobs in the country. At the same time as well, the decommissioning of the actual power plant, so the coal power plant and eventually the nuclear power plant, will keep and maintaining the a big part of the jobs, existing jobs, actually during a long period of time, certain up to 2030. That will make, and I use some words which has been used for some members of the government, that will create a new industry of the commissioning industry in the country. Same time that we are developing or reinforcing the industry of construction and installation of new power plant or of networks. So I think that is our position with respect to this point.
Third question comes from Daniel Rodriguez, Fidentiis, and is related to the generation and supply business in Spain, that is currently suffering higher cost of procurement cost. we are seeing the prices of energy these days, and finally the condition of the raw materials. The question is regarding if we are going to be able to pass through the cost to the customers, and additionally if we are feeling or we are suffering the new commercial pressure from other and new competitors.
So I think perhaps Paco, you can already comment more in detail, but I think it is a fact in this moment across Europe that the commodities prices is increasing. So coal prices increase, gas prices increase, carbon prices are increased, fortunately, finally. And I think that is affecting to the whole structure of the cost. So and that is something which is not new. In particular case of Spain, most of the time of the market, the price is fixed by precisely coal power plant. So coal is more expensive and carbon is more expensive. Those things is affecting to that one. So I come back to my previous approach. If instead of having already dependence of so much of traditional fossil fuel power plant will be more already producing more renewables, probably that will be not as affected that is affected at present.
Any comment from
would you like to add anything, Paco?
No, yes. Because we are a net buyer, we have to manage that situation. I mean that wholesale market anticipating the procurement in the wholesale energy that we need for our sales because we produce less than we sell. So this is part of the fact, and for us we are suffering these high prices. And the fact is that we are passing to the customers all the prices, and in a like for like basis with other information, we are selling, for instance, 2018 at 67 euros per megawatt hour. And if you want to be homogeneous with other competitors, you have to transform this price to 70. That is the price that is homogeneous with the one that report others. And that means that we are experiencing the ability to pass this to the customer for the time being, and we are seeing this price, the final price for this year around 57, and for the next year in 54. So we expect that this will be moderated, and this is in our interest because we are net buyers.
Okay, next question probably has been already answered and came from Stefano Bezzato, Credit Suisse, and Jorge Alonso Sogen, and is regarding the same thing that has been just answered. Next question comes from Stefano Bezzato, Credit Suisse, and is if we can give an indication of the growth in recurring net income on ordinary income, in recurring net income at the end of the year.
Well, and already, yes, I mentioned, last year our result were affected for several extraordinary non-recurring items. And this year, mostly all our result is just based in recurring thing as we saw. So I think on this 3 billion net profit, around 3 billion we are mentioning, mostly will be already affected just by recurring result.
Next question comes from Carolina Dores, Morgan Stanley, and Javier Suarez Mediobanca, and is related to Avangrid. Are you including the US transmission and offshore projects as a part of the guidance and CapEx already? Second question regarding Avangrid, can you quantify how large were the storm cost impact in the US? Is there any managerial action you can should be taken to revert recent operational underperformance? And finally, Avangrid talked about selling wind pipeline in the US yesterday. Is selling project and assets in operation as a part of a Iberdrola strategy, or is this just at Avangrid?
Well, I think the first part, you know, the storm, we have already two kind of a storm considering our in the United States in Avangrid, ones which are recognized by the regulator forming part of the future RAP, which is the major storm, and there are certain amount which is already in the inside of the rates, which is for minor storm. Normally that is already more or less fitting what is already historically affected. This year, the first half of the year, we have already had a lot of this minor storm, which is going straight to the P&L. We expect that the second part of the year will be not as much and that will be already coming to the normalization of what is the normal minor storm during the year. I said the major storm, normally they goes, they pass through to the RAP. Related to the measure, I was mentioning that without this effect of the minor storm, which is already affecting the first half, and we hope in the second half will be not affected, so in such way that the total amount we have already awarded in our rate, in our rates will be enough for covering this one. And the second important thing was already affected for two wind farms, we have been already delay the construction. Now these two wind farms are fully in service, so I think that is going to generate already what was expecting during the year. You mentioned about our transmission offshore wind park, the Ghana's CAPEX already. Well, I think that is inside of our global plan, so I think it's no changes in our global plan. I think was certain projects we was defined, certain projects were not defined, and that is part of those who are not, certain of them not defined, but this is the total amount already planned for the investment up to 2022 in the United States.
The third one regarding the pipeline. The pipeline in the US. The pipeline in the US that they announced yesterday.
Well, I see, yeah. Well, I think that is the normal thing. I think they announced yesterday that they are going to buy some wind farm, which is just in construction from company we have some recent agreement, and I think there's another one which I imagine is the same thing. I think that is the normal rotation of the pipeline. There are areas in which we have already certain advantage for operating, and we would like to keep. There are certain areas which another one has better facilities for operating, and we are selling. So I think that is part of the normal way how they operate. So which I think is good, but I think it's part of the of normality. It's nothing exceptional, and it's going not to change very much the picture of the company in this respect.
Next question comes from Alberto Gandolfi, Goldman Sachs, Antonella Bianchesi, Citi, and Jorge Alonso, SocGen, and is related to offshore auctions. If we finally, basically, if can you update us on upcoming offshore auctions in the US, UK, rest of Europe, and where do you feel more confident? Can you give an idea of the size of the tender in terms of megawatts, and if we can expect profitability?
Well, I think, as I mentioned, in this moment, our total exposure to offshore is on the range of 8.5 billion. 6 billion is what has been awarded. 2 billion or 2.5 billion is that one which is already in operation. So I think in this moment, we are already a part of those one. The day before yesterday, the Minister of Energy in Britain has already announced new auctions for offshore in May 2019. In which we have some project in East Anglia, another one is Anglia 3, which is on the range of up to 1,400 megawatts that we are already preparing for that one. I think they are they will be probably in the future some more in Germany that we are already looking for this opportunity. And in France, for the time being, there is nothing announced, but I think we are already concentrating on that one. So, I would like to say, a part of the three what we have now in construction, which is Ambrick in France, the Baltic Eagle in Germany, and East Anglia One, we have already ready prepared is East Anglia Three in Britain. And in United States, there are several. And several of those ones, apart of the Vineyard in Massachusetts, the 100 megawatt I mentioned, we have already the site, we have sites as well. This site has already capability for much more than those ones that probably we are going to bid for in the future from there. And we have already as well a site in North Carolina, then we will, in the moment there will be some opportunity, we will be as well ready for bidding for.
Next question comes from Javier Garrido, JP Morgan, and is regarding the current framework of renewables under the European Union umbrella by 2030. Is it possible to see a higher scenario for new countries in terms of development of Iberdrola in Europe?
Well, I think we are already new countries in Europe. I think we are in Portugal with the largest investment ever made in a company in Portugal and in the Tâmega River with these three dams. We have already in Germany, as I mentioned, so one wind farm in operation, another wind farm in, offshore wind farm in construction. We are in France with a wind farm. We are recently, we are awarded with a small thing, but in a small country as Greece, we got as well another one. And I think we continue in this line. So we are, but I think we are nothing special different those ones that we are already at present. So we are not looking for different countries than those ones that we are already established in this moment.
Next question comes again from Javier Garrido, JP Morgan, is regarding possible disposal of, according with press news, of thermal assets in the UK and cogen plants in Spain.
Well, I think in the first quarter we did something, a small thing in cogeneration, and as far as I know, there are another in negotiation, different power plant, thermal power plant in the different places, and cogeneration, and there are certain things which I hope during the second half of the year, all those things will be already materialized. They are now very, they are in negotiation, and I hope they can be announced sooner than later.
Next question comes from Carolina Dores, Morgan Stanley, and is regarding Brazil, if we are interested in new opportunities like Cepisa or Cial in that country.
Well, as I mentioned our people in Brazil yesterday, or I saw in the media, I think they look for all opportunities, but I think what you can be sure is that our internal procedures makes that we are very, very solid in the way we analyze the alternative. So I think some of those ones I saw today, that we has been awarded for somebody else, Cepisa, I think I saw in the media, and we even has not already offered for it. So I think we see the opportunities, we analyze the opportunities, and there are already possibilities of creating value. We are ready for bidding for, but if we are seeing that it's impossible create value on the condition we are putting for that one, we are going to bid for those one. I think we in Brazil, as you know, is a country that we have quite a lot of interest. I think we have a part of the distribution companies that we have presence in this moment. We are already being awarded with some transmission line beginning of this year that we are now making for those one, and we continue. But I think always in a very disciplined manner, never already offering more than the value than the things has already for ourselves.
Probably the answer given to Carolina Dores has already answered the question from Javier Suarez de Mediobanca that was in this regard, quite similar to the previous one in Brazil. So next question is related to the debt. If we can provide the evolution of the figure of debt in the first part of the year, giving some comment about cash flows, etc. And it's coming the question from Daniel Rodriguez Fidentis.
Pepe, you reply?
Yes. No, I think that there is a difference about the how you measure the working capital and from one side to the other. In the one side, what we consider is that the way you fund financially with financial debt, the working capital is not included in the working capital, and there are some other methodologies which include the financial, the evolution of the financial debt. So the difference basically has to do with the reclassification of the financial debt in short term and long term. Actually, as we say in the prospectus, the working capital is actually very flat in the group. Okay.
And the last question is coming from Javier Suarez, Mediobanca, and is related to net debt to EBITDA. And basically, it's going to stay at a relatively high level, higher than 3.5 times during the next 3 years, and the payout should stay at levels of 70%. Should the company decelerate CapEx to underpin better its balance sheet?
This is to Pepe.
Well, I think that we have a plan, and we are complying with this plan. We know that there is a little bit of investment into the into 18 and 19, especially from 20 onwards, there is margin. I think that the target is to end the plan with below 3.5 times, around 3.5 times. We think that is a reasonable level. You know, the good news that we have is that we have a lot of opportunities to invest and to create values, and that will support the growth for the next decade in the group.
Okay, so the Q&A session has finished, and now please let me now give the floor to Mr. Galán to conclude this event.
So thank you very much for participating in this conference call. We are quite optimistic in the next, in the second part of the year. So following, and we expect to continue offering more increased visibility of the business as always, and reaffirming what I was already saying, our expectation for the year end in line with this 9 billion and this around 3 billion in terms of net profit. So for meantime, I wish you all good summer holidays. Thank you very much, and we'll be already in touch with yourself across the next 6 months. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you.